This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. The topic, a very important one, it's cancer. There's a new book entitled The Cancer Revolution, a groundbreaking program to reverse and prevent cancer. We're going to talk to the author today, Dr. Lee Aaron Keneally. And Dr. Keneally has been practicing medicine for 30 years. I look at her picture and it sure doesn't look like that. She attended the University of Texas School of Public Health, completed her postgraduate training at Harbor UCLA Medical Center in Los Angeles, which is a prestigious training program. And she is founder and medical director of the Center for New Medicine and the Cancer Center for Healing in Irvine, California. So she is eminently qualified to take us through an overview of the subject of cancer prevention and treatment. Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. Nice having you aboard, Dr. Keneally.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to be here. I'm glad you have a mission like mine to educate and empower people. And so I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, we're kindred spirits because we're both trying to get the word out. And your book does a beautiful job of that. But, you know, let's first start with the proposition, how much of cancer is attributable to lifestyle? Because as you may know, recently there was some controversial studies that were amplified in the press, which basically say that cancer is a matter of luck, you know, and it's just, you know, you're destined to get cancer. There's not a lot you can do about it. Cancer may be inevitable because we're living longer, and that's the story. True or false?
Well, unfortunately, that is false. It is not bad luck. I have heard that from patients before, but first of all, it's the number one killer, 1 to 85. It's 1 in 2 of men and about 41% of females. And Nature came out with an article May 2016 that 90% of cancers are lifestyle and environment. And so that is the real deal, is it's lifestyle. So what is lifestyle? Lifestyle is how do you sleep? How do you think? What do you eat? What is your work like? What activities do you do? You know, how do you live your life? Okay. And that really needs to be dissected and analyzed by a physician and or health coach and or other like-minded people. And then there's the environment. And I always tell patients, they always go, well, gosh, I eat right and I do all these things, but you don't live in a bubble. And we are living now. They're teaching that living a month today, you will accumulate amount of toxins that a person 50 years ago did in their entire lifetime.
Wow. Yeah. That's a stark statistic.
So we need to adapt to our existence today. So our existence today, 2017, is an abominable amount of toxins, okay, in every single thing you do. And one of the biggest toxins that no one talks about is electrosmog. And electrosmog is the invisible energy web around us, okay? And I was just reading, because I'm always constantly researching these topics, and I read in a letter that a scientist warned and advised the World Health Organization, which is supposed to protect all mankind, that they are not warning the public about the dangers of electromagnetic fields.
Mm-hmm. And how would that manifest? Would, say, for example, people holding a cell phone up to their ear for hours on end, or people using a laptop literally on their lap, you know, with the electromagnetic waves penetrating their pelvic organs. Or can it be just, if you're walking around in a room that's wired with Wi-Fi, is this something that
can affect you? Yes. So we're all energetic beings, okay, besides the cells and the water that the cells bathe in and all the biochemical elements, they all possess their own innate dynamic energy that is changing on a nanosecond basis. And so every cell emanates a radiant energy, okay, which has been actually photographed before. And so when you have cell phones or when you have iPads or you have wires that are penetrating every wall and every window and everything, they all go through us. And so it changes us in some way or another, and I don't think we even possibly know all the changes because we're just not being bombarded by the invisible energy web. We have, you know, the pesticides, insecticides, heavy metal, plastics. I mean, there are, you know, all the polluted water, all the toxins that we make in our body ourselves just from dental problems. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And so every individual is an original. So that's why when you go to the doctor, the doctor needs to check all of the functionality of their organs. They've got to check the biochemistry by checking all the nutrients. Do they have the biochemistry? Is their mitochondria working? Do they have all the nutrients they need so that their Krebs cycle of energy, which we all learned in medical school, it's the cycle of energy that makes ATP, which is the currency of life for all of our cells. And so, and then it also, a test that I use, checks your heavy metals. It checks your heavy metals, antioxidants, minerals, every single thing that your body needs, and then the things that it doesn't need. So it checks the challenge of toxins that you have in your body. So every one of us needs that so we can properly fix a patient. For example, not everybody exposed to mercury is it dangerous because they have some unusual detox mechanism that they get rid of mercury, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, that's just fortunate and genetically human to you.
Some are more vulnerable than others, in other words.
Right, so exactly. Some are more vulnerable. That's how they found out that mercury was toxic in the first place is the employee didn't die, and then they started examining the differences in humanity. And if you order 23andMe and you order the medical aspect, you can see how your body metabolizes everything. Mm-hmm. So you know what your particular needs are.
So while we're on the subject of detoxification, you see cancer patients routinely at your center in Irvine, California. And, you know, we know from talking to experts like Dr. Nick Gonzalez, he's been a frequent guest on this program, the late Dr. Gonzalez, that detoxification is an important part of therapy for cancer. So how do you get the toxins out? By what means do you detoxify your patients when they come to see you at your center?
Okay, that's a great question. What I do first is I tell them to stop putting toxins mm-hmm. in. So that's what they're eating. So they've got to eat organic fruits and vegetables and grass-fed and farm-raised and all that kind of, you know, farm-raised chicken and free-range chicken, rather, and obviously not farm-raised fish or anything. But you try to get them to stop putting toxins in. What do they bathe in every day? If they bathe in water, tap water, then they're just going to get the toxins absorbed through the skin. And if they're drinking water from the tap water, so you're not going to get very far if you keep putting toxins in. So the first thing is examine the 24/7 day you are and what are you putting in and on your body. Okay. So get rid of you don't have to become a degree in chemistry, but you got to figure out that there are chemicals.
Parabens, estrogen mimics in cosmetics,
yeah, exactly.
Which cause reproductive cancers. So you don't want to smear those into your skin on a daily basis to rejuvenate you because you'll promote cancer.
Exactly. So what I have patients do one of two things. Because I tell people the skin is the largest detox organ. So I either tell the patients to buy a portable infrared sauna or they do clay baths. So I tell people one of those to detox from the skin. And then what I have my patients do is I have them use a drainage remedy that has all the organs in it and it has its drops. They put in water and it gets the leaves out of the gutter. Then I have my patients start a 21-day purification, which is greens and fiber pills and detox pills, and they do that for 21 days. Mm-hmm. Then I have them do a liver cleanse. So I, mm-hmm. Dr. Gonzalez was really huge on coffee enemas, and right. I am too.
Okay.
And because William Kelly, who wrote the book, One Answer to Cancer, mm-hmm. He was big on coffee enemas, and you know we know how coffee enemas they work. They're very, very good. Mm-hmm. And so I have them, but not everybody wants to do a coffee enema. So yeah. I tell them we'll do an oral liver gallbladder flush.
Right.
So then I give them the directions on how to do an oral liver gallbladder flush. But I tell people the single greatest thing to do to your body is clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
You must do it. And even if you don't have cancer, it is critical. If you're going to mm-hmm. live and survive in 2017 and on, you must detoxify your body. And so that's kind of where I started, and it's not really that difficult. Everybody, most people like to take a bath. Not everybody does, but if you don't want to do that, then I tell people invest in a portable infrared sauna that their head is sticking out, and they can be mm-hmm. doing multiple things at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And
then, go on.
When it comes to diet, obviously diet is a main facet of this prevention and treatment program. But you start out talking about diet in the book. What not to eat? Well, let's take it from that standpoint. What would one eat if one wanted to accelerate? I mean, this is a thought experiment. Accelerate their pathway to cancer. What are some of the foods that might speed that process of cancerous transformation of your normal cells?
Well, if you eat packaged foods, for one, packaged foods. If you go to the grocery store and you go to the line where everything is prepared and that the food can outlive you, you know that's a big problem. And believe it or not, a lot of food can outlive us.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to buy food. We don't want to buy. So all food that's dead, if it's not alive, if it's not alive like fruits and vegetables, then it's not going to give you energy. We all of us want more energy. And so if we eat dead food, we're going to feel like almost dead. So, you don't want to eat, cereal for breakfast because that's like eating a candy bar. And a lot of people think cereal is like what you should be eating, but a cereal or bagel, that's not how you start your day out for feeling good and having long-lasting energy. And if you're going to eat sugar, which is what cereal is, and a bagel, and or bread, and or muffins, and or croissants, or whatever kind of wheat kind of pastry product you want to do, you're just basically eating sugar. People mm-hmm. think, well, no, it's not like eating a cookie. Well, I say, yes, it is exactly like eating a cookie. It breaks down to sugar. So cancer thrives on sugar. That's how they survive and thrive, is by eating sugar. So sugar would be your number one no thing to do. And then if you're just going to eat at, fast foods, they have it so designed. If it costs 99 cents, then it's too cheap to be good for you.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, it just can't, or 59 cent tacos. Mm-hmm. They're not buying decent materials to make a product that's going to be even close to beneficial for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be better off at cooking beans and rice in your apartment mm-hmm. than going and buying 59 cents tacos. So, because you can buy a pound of rice and a pound of beans, and it lasts a long, long time. So,
you indicted yes. sugar and high glycemic index foods as potentially something that stokes cancer. And we know that when they do cancer scans, the so-called CT PET scan, it lights up because that it's a sugar tracer. The sugar goes to the cancer and indicates where cancer activity is highly metabolic in the body. So we know that sugar certainly feeds cancer. Are you also of the opinion that meats or animal proteins contribute to cancer, and insist that patients reduce those?
Well, I'm not a diehard vegetarian. I know on prostate cancer patients and breast cancer patients, you want to lean more to a vegetarian program. Mm-hmm. But
In other words, certain cancers, it suits the cancer. In other words, reproductive cancers,
exactly.
You
it suits the cancer, exactly.
Right. Okay.
So like someone with leukemia or lymphoma, that's not necessarily
right.
true. And so so I tell people there is no one size fits all. I do know one cardinal rule for being well, and that is avoiding sugar. I forget that list, and you probably know that, the 52 reasons why, what 52 things sugar does to you. Mm-hmm. I think it's put out by the Weston Price Foundation. So
okay.
there is no redeeming characteristic to eating sugar. There's just no one redeeming force. But the problem is people are misguided out there is what is sugar. So they might not realize that a Ritz cracker or a Triscuit is sugar. But
yep.
It is sugar. All bread
biochemically
is sugar.
The
all
same.
Cereal
yep.
is sugar.
Yep.
Yeah, they're all very chemically processed in the body to turn into sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So people, we need to educate people about the biochemical content of what you're eating. Like, for example, the fats that they use in fast food, okay, it's not healthy for our fats. Why? Because every one of our biochemical cellular membranes is made up of fat. So you don't want to put fake fat in your body, because then what it's going to do is gum up that magical membrane that you need to protect the cellular membrane.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of fake fats in foods that we have today, whether it's Oreo cookies or Pop-Tarts or crackers. They have fats that are fake fats or chemically altered fats.
Mm-hmm.
So those aren't going to be good. Or they're filler fats. They maybe make a pound cake taste good, but they're not going to be good for your cellular membrane. So you have to think that every single morsel you eat is making a healthy or
yeah.
dead cell, one or the other.
It's got to count, yeah. So you're in favor of a diet that is plant-based, but with varying amounts of protein from different sources, depending on the patient's cancer. And that really echoes the approach of one of our mentors, Dr. Nick Gonzalez, because he felt different strokes for different strokes for different folks and different cancers. So there are also some extraordinary therapies that you use and you talk about in the book, and that's quite fascinating because you use intravenous vitamin C and you also use oxidative therapies. Tell us about those.
Well, okay, so when we have a patient, we design a plan for the patient. And as you know, if a patient has tumor burden, a lot of times that you have to utilize low-dose chemo, or if the patient can't do mm-hmm. low-dose chemo, you have to do regular chemo. Now, sometimes there are opportunities where a patient will just get on a very, very die-hard program, eating well, maybe fasting, detoxing, and they can shrink their tumors by just stopping feeding it, okay? But if we have tumor burden in the body, we use some form of low-dose chemo, or we have them see the oncologist to do the regular chemo, whatever suits the patient and whatever the patient likes, what's best for they think is best for them. Because whatever's best, they think is best for them is what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
So then we always, after I told you, after we do a panoramic view of their blood and their biochemistry of every nutrient in their body, and then we always tell them, we always have them meet with the nutritionist so they can understand the science of food, because most people do not understand the science of food, okay? Very, very few people do, including doctors, because if you don't go take courses with this, which I'm sure you have done and myself, mm-hmm. then you didn't know either, right? And so then I put them on a daily protocol. I may use IV vitamin C, because we know IV vitamin C creates hydrogen peroxide that kills the cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
We also use something called IV poly-MVA. IV poly-MVA is a very, very powerful lipoic acid molecule.
Mm-hmm.
And lipoic acid is a very powerful antioxidant. We also will do IV curcumin. Curcumin is the spice, the Indian spice, turmeric. And we do that depending on, obviously, the patient's results, because we do if something is a millimeter in size, 1 millimeter,
mm-hmm.
it's already releasing circulating tumor cells and
right.
stem cells.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's responsible for 95% of metastasis. So you want to make sure you're cancer-free by always checking your circulating tumor cells and stem cells. So the oncology books as of today tell you that you have you're cancer-free when your circulating tumor cells are zero or close thereof, so zero to one. And so that's an emerging science that's, you know, occurring all over the world, as you know. And so, because there's laboratories all over the world that are doing that, but again, anything that's new, it's constantly being refined.
So that's a test that you would advocate for monitoring the progress of patients to either reassure them that they're cancer-free or that we need to do some more aggressive treatment.
That's correct. Well, because if you have circulating tumor cells, that is responsible for 95% of metastasis. So if you want to remain cancer-free from 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, the doctor must be monitoring those circulating tumor cells. We can't just do a chemistry and a CBC panel. We've got to do the circulating tumor cell panel, and they have those laboratories now available to do that. So because that's what's responsible for the cancer coming back. And we know that circulating tumor cells and cancer cells can live, we now know, at least 40 years. So it's something you're going to follow with the patient, as well as the other health parameters that we've been talking about, their vitamin levels, their blood sugar levels, their hormone levels. Like, for example, if someone is low thyroid, then they're going to have a predisposition to cancer. If they have low adrenal, they're going to be more predisposed to cancer. So you have low vitamin D levels. Vitamin D is a very powerful anti-cancer vitamin. And so I tell people, when you're making chocolate chip cookies, you don't just use one ingredient. You use 10 or 12, whatever the recipe. And just missing one ingredient makes a difference. Well, the same thing with us. We're just a lot more sophisticated and complicated than a chocolate chip cookie.
So it's a multifaceted approach, looking at toxicity, looking at a variety of factors. And I want to get into specific supplements, but let's hold our fire for now, because we divide our podcast into two parts. And in part two, I want to hone in on specific supplements that patients can access and that use on a regular basis to support cancer patients. The subject is cancer. The new book, The Cancer Revolution, by Lee Aaron Keneally. The book is just out. Has it been released yet?
Yes, it's released just this spring.
Okay. And all right, we'll return in just a moment with Dr. Keneally. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.